as a basis for our study this morning. I'm going to read a passage from Acts chapter 9, verses 3 through 8. This obviously is about Saul of Tarsus. It says, "And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. He fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and there shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice and seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus." This is an account, a very brief account, of the encounter that Saul of Tarsus had with the Lord. There are differing accounts in Scripture regarding his conversion. The one here in Acts chapter 9 that follows the reading that we just read. Then there's one in Acts chapter 22 given by Saul, Paul at the time. The one here in Acts is given by Luke as he recorded the Acts of the Apostles. Then Paul gives an account of his conversion twice in Acts chapter 22 and Acts chapter 26. As you read in Scripture from Acts chapter 26 to verse 27, it makes us aware that Saul had been given authority to go to Damascus from the chief priest. Paul, or Saul at the time, had been given a commission to go to Damascus. And as he'd given his account, he said, "Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest." Then in Acts chapter 22, there at verse 5, as he records his conversion there, he makes this statement regarding his commission. "As also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound in Jerusalem for to be punished." And so here he identifies also the elders along with the chief priest as giving him this authority to bring Christians from Damascus back to Jerusalem there to be punished. I want us to look a little bit at this experience that Saul had there on the road to Damascus. In chapter 22, verses 6 and 7, it says there, as Paul recounts his conversion, and it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus, about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me, and I fell unto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And the text we read from Acts, the 9th chapter, it described the Lord as saying to him, it's hard thee to kick against the prick, or as newer translation render that, the goads. Here in his account here, he said, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Saul knew that he was persecuting people. But at that point in time, when he was doing his best to stamp out Christianity, he did not consider himself to be persecuting the Lord. You back up to the first part of Acts chapter 9, it says, Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest. Now Saul is doing all within his power, and he was a very influential man. He's doing what he can to stamp out what is referred to as this way. And as he recounts his conversion, when he was there before Agrippa, he describes this as a vision. When he said, "Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision." And so the experience that Saul had there on the road to Damascus was a vision. When a person sees a vision, that's what they're doing. They're seeing something. As we've noted in our study of the book of Daniel, Daniel saw visions, various different images in these visions. Here, Saul of Tarsus saw a vision. I want us to examine this heavenly vision in our study this morning and see exactly what Saul of Tarsus saw. I think there are a number of things that we can draw from these accounts of his conversion that relate to us as to what Saul actually saw, and that we can draw some lessons from that will be a benefit to us. I suggest to you, first of all, that Saul saw that he was ignorant. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, there, verse 13, he talks about being before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. He said, "But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief." When we say that Paul was ignorant, we're not suggesting that Paul was an unlearned man, because he was brought up at the feet of Gamaliel, as is related in Acts chapter 22, verse 3, when he gives his credentials. I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city, that's the city of Jerusalem, at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as you all are this day. Gamaliel was a doctor of the law. As we would term it today, he was a professor. He was a teacher. And Saul sat at his feet and learned all the pertinent matters of the law, taught according to the perfect manner of the law. He knew exactly what the law said. But concerning Jesus Christ, he was ignorant. And you remember on one occasion Jesus told the Jews, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." Old Testament scriptures did in fact testify of the coming of the Messiah. Isaiah 53 is a classic example of a description of what would happen to the Messiah. But there are numerous Old Testament passages that refer to the coming Messiah. Now, Saul had studied the law, but he studied like a lot of people study today. He had looked at it, as we say today, through rose-colored glasses. He learned what Gamaliel wanted him to learn. He said in Galatians chapter 1, there at verse 14, 13 and 14, that he had profited in the Jews' religion. He said, "Above many of my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the tradition of my fathers." Jesus talked about the tradition of the Jews. And on one occasion there, he said, "Full well, you reject the commandments of God that you may keep your own traditions." The Jews had developed an intricate set of traditions that they were to keep. And this is part of what Saul studied. He was not an unlearned man. He was simply ignorant of Christ. So we can say Paul is educated, yet at the same time he is ignorant, unlearned, a blasphemer, a persecutor, described himself as injurious to the cause of Christ. And that because of ignorance. Understand the wisdom or knowledge that we need comes from above. As James writes in James chapter 1 and verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God to give it to all men liberally and upbraid him not, and it shall be given him. God doesn't reprimand in our search for wisdom. He's willing to give us wisdom, but we have to understand that this wisdom comes from God. We have to read and understand, as Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 4, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge of the mystery of Christ. It takes effort on our part. David talked about meditating on God's law day and night. It takes dedicated, earnest effort to learn and know what God's will is. Paul saw that. He saw that he was ignorant concerning Jesus Christ. There's something else that Saul saw in this vision. He became aware that he was indeed a sinner. When he wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, he said, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul refers to himself as being chief of sinners. But if you look at Philippians chapter 3, verses 5 through 6, you can see his Hebrew credentials. He was one of letters, and he had a lot of degrees, as we would say today, out behind his name. He says concerning himself, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. He was of the sect of the Pharisees. A very strict order. He refers to himself as a Pharisee of Pharisees. Hebrew of the Hebrews. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. A very zealous, determined man. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. He had kept the law without fail. And so, when you look at his Hebrew status, he proves he was a Jew by birth, by nationality, and by religion. Yet at the same time, he still recognizes that he was indeed a sinner. In all this, Paul thought he was doing what was right. At the time he was involved in all this persecution, he did not see himself as a sinner. He thought he was doing what the Lord wanted him to do, what God wanted him to do. He said in Acts chapter 26 and verse 9, I've had a thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. You remember Naaman used that statement when he went over to the prophet about his leprosy. And when the prophet told him to go dip 7 times in the river Jordan, Naaman went away in a rage saying, behold, I thought. This kind of thing can get us into some very serious trouble. Saul of Tarsus thought he ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. He didn't have authority from God's word to do that. He had authority from the chief priests and from the elders to do that. But certainly there was no authority in God's word for his actions. In Acts chapter 23 verse 1, he talks about living in all good conscience before God to this day. His conscience was clear. He wasn't bothered at all by what he was doing. Even though he was condemning people to death, and he was the young man at whose feet the people laid their clothes and stoned Stephen to death. In fact, he said he was consenting unto the death of Stephen. And all this he did with a clear conscience. His thoughts were contrary to the name or the authority of Jesus Christ. But in this vision, he recognized that he was a sinner. Because as we'll know later, he recognized Jesus as Lord. Who art thou, Lord? What was I having to do, Lord? Before this, he had not seen Jesus Christ as being his master, his Lord. Now he does. And so he recognizes that he has to do something. In Acts 22 and verse 16, he's told what to do when Ananias comes to him and restores his sight. He said, and now why tarriest thou? Arise, be baptized, and wash away thy sins. Saul saw that he was a sinner. Then he was told what to do in order to have his sins washed away. We'll see that Saul of Tarsus actually did that. Here's something else I believe we can draw a lesson from as to what Saul saw in this vision. Saul saw that his teacher was wrong. Certainly his teacher wasn't wrong about everything, because he was a scholar, a professor of the law, doctor of the law. He knew the law, and Saul knew the law. So he wasn't wrong about everything. But he understood that what he had been taught in regard to his teacher as he's growing up, like our children grow up today, and they go to school, they graduate high school, they go on to college, and sometimes they have to come to understand that some of their college professors are wrong. They're teaching error in regard to some things that are contrary to what the scriptures teach. There's quite a lot of that going on in our school systems now. Not only in the places of higher learning, but even in the secondary schools. There's a lot of error that's being taught, and our children have to deal with that. Few people like to admit that their teachers are wrong. Paul saw that Gamaliel was not correct in what he had been teaching Saul. He's been teaching the traditions of the Jews. And the tradition of the Jews suggested that the Messiah would come, but that he would come with great, as we would describe it today, great pomp and circumstance. That he would establish himself as king of the Jews and rule and reign there in the city of Jerusalem, but Jesus didn't do that. And they didn't accept him as the Messiah. Gamaliel was a very distinguished Jewish rabbi, held in high esteem by the Jews. But now Paul has to obey the one that he had hated. He had intense hatred for this one who claimed to be the Messiah. In Acts chapter 26, there, verses 9 and 10. When he said, I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. He was of the conviction, very strong conviction, that he ought to be engaging in whatever he could to get rid of this Jesus of Nazareth and those who were following him. In verse 19, though he said that he was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. What he saw there in his vision was what he had been taught regarding Jesus of Nazareth was wrong. And that he had to be obedient to the instruction given in that vision. When the Lord told him to rise and go into Damascus. And there it would be told him what he must do. He became obedient to that heavenly vision. You remember the Hebrew writer points out in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedient by the things which he suffered. Being then made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. It takes obedience to Jesus Christ in order to have salvation from sin. And so, that's part of what Saul of Tarsus saw here in this vision. That his teacher was wrong, and that now he had to render obedience to the one whom he had been trying to destroy. In this vision, he also understood something that we today must understand. As Paul wrote to the churches of Galatia, in Galatians chapter 1, beginning at verse 8, he said, "For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostles of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles." That's chapter 2 of Galatians chapter, of book of Galatians. The thing that Peter taught the Jews, Paul said he taught the Gentiles. But as you back up then, as he instructs these Christians here in Galatia, these are the ones to whom Paul had gone preaching the gospel. And he said, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel to you than that you have received, let him be accursed. Can't preach anything other than what he had already preached. As you continue reading, he said in verse 10, for do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Paul came to understand that he could not put his trust, his confidence in the flesh. He couldn't put confidence in man. He had to put his confidence in Jesus Christ. And so he said in verse 11, I certify you or guarantee you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul recognized that what he was now teaching did not come from man. It came from Jesus Christ. The one whom he saw there on the road to Damascus in this vision. When he came to realize that his teacher was wrong, that now instead of submitting himself to the teachers of the law, those who were in error on the law, he now had to obey Jesus Christ. So that tells us that Saul saw that he had to break with tradition. He couldn't continue on the same path. Remember, as he gives his credentials in Acts chapter 22 and verse 3, I am verily or truly a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God as you all are this day. There was no question as to where Saul's allegiance was in the past. When you think about his traditional background, there in Galatians chapter 1, verse 14, where he said, I profited in the Jews' religion above many of my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the tradition of my fathers. Born a Jew, taught the law in Jerusalem by a distinguished teacher, taught the perfect manner of the law. He profited, he progressed above his equals, being exceedingly zealous of the tradition of his fathers. You see his traditional background. A very distinguished Pharisee, probably a member of the Sanhedrin Council. He was a Jew of Jews, a Pharisee of the Pharisees. A great man, we would describe him. As far as the tradition of the Jews was concerned, he stood to have been a very, very important man for years to come. But he had to make a choice. Who am I going to serve? What am I going to serve? Am I going to serve the tradition of my fathers? Am I going to serve the Lord? He said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Sometimes we reach a point in our lives that we have to make decisions about those kinds of things. It may be in regard to a workplace. It might be in regard to recreation. It might be in regard to any number of things in this physical realm where we have to make a choice. Paul said, what things were gained to me. This traditional background afforded him the opportunity to be a great man. You know, Moses had that same situation. He was raised as the grandson of Pharaoh and might possibly have stood in line to be Pharaoh of Egypt. But regardless, he had all that Egypt had to offer. Great riches. But the scripture says he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. Moses made a choice to stand with God. Saul of Tarsus made a choice. He gave up all these things for Christ. The cost was indeed very, very great. He said in verse 8 of Philippians chapter 3, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, or refuse, or garbage, that I may win Christ. Saul now looked upon all those things in his past, all the things that made him who he was, from a political standpoint, if we can use that term, because there were a lot of politics that were involved in being a Jew and being a Pharisee. As he looked upon all those things, he just looked upon them as just so much garbage. This high position in Jewish religion. This respect of great men. There's so much garbage that I might win Christ. You see, he understood that the reward is greater. As he wrote in Romans chapter 8 there at verse 18, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. As he wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, he said, for our light affliction which is but for a moment, working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Light afflictions. If you go back and you read about the things that Paul suffered, they don't seem very light. Beaten with rods, with whips, instead of the Jews, 5 times, received 40 stripes, saved 1. 5 times, he received 39 stripes. Beaten, whipped, robbed, stoned, left for dead, shipwrecked, light afflictions. Why? Because he recognized Jesus Christ as his Lord. He had to serve him above all else, at all costs, giving up everything and anything that would keep him from being a servant of the Lord. Because he's looking for a crown of righteousness. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight, I finished my course, I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. He looked forward to a reward. Saul of Tarsus saw a lot of things in the vision. These are some of the things that he saw that I believe we can draw some lessons from. As we think of this heavenly vision, we realize that, first of all, we need to know God's word. Jesus said in John 8, verse 32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. David said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. The word of God is vitally important. Paul told Timothy, all scripture given by inspiration by God is profitable, doctrine, reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness. The man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. So we need to understand we need the word of God. We also need to understand that we are sinners in need of the remission of our sins. We have to get rid of our sin. Paul said, Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all are sinners. John points out that we can't say that we haven't sinned. We can't say that we don't have sin. Every person is a sinner. And so as a result, we have to understand that maybe what I was taught was wrong. Maybe my teacher was wrong. And what I believed in the past could be wrong. I think I mentioned this before. I studied with a young lady who was married to one of my first cousins. She came to understand what the scriptures teach in order to have forgiveness of sin and be a part of the Lord's church. But she wouldn't obey the truth. I saw tears coming out of her eyes when she said, if I believe that, if I espouse that, I'd have to say my parents are lost. Those are hard things to deal with, no doubt about it. When we have to realize that someone close, near, and dear to us is in error. That according to our understanding of Scripture, they're going to be lost. That's what Saul saw. Gamaliel was a professor of the law. He knew the law. But at this point, Saul recognized that what Gamaliel had been teaching him was not entirely correct. Part of it was. And that's true even today. Many religious denominations teach a great deal of truth. But they don't teach all truth. Some of what they teach is error. Now understand, we don't have a heavenly vision that will show us all this. What we have is simply God's Word that must convict us. When Peter preached there in Acts chapter 2 on the first Pentecost, he preached about Jesus being made both Lord and Christ, that they had by wicked hands crucified and slain the Lord of glory. And so the text says when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. They were convicted by the Word of God. God had made him, brethren, what shall we do? Remember we read there in Galatians chapter 2, where Paul said, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. What Peter taught, Paul taught. Peter taught those people on Pentecost that they needed to hear Jesus Christ. When they listened to what Peter taught in that sermon, they were convinced or convicted that Jesus was indeed the Christ. Remember, John recorded, John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, many of the signs proved that Jesus in the presence of the disciples had not written this book, but these are written that you might believe, and that believing you might have life through his name. Scripture is written that we can believe that Jesus is the Christ. And in James chapter 1 and verse 21, James gives this exhortation. Wherefore let part all filthiness and superfluity, the overflowing of naughtiness or wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your soul. The word of God is the only thing that can save your soul. When Saul of Tarsus heard what Ananias told him there in Acts 22 and verse 16, he was baptized. When Ananias said, now why tarriest thou? Arise, be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Saul of Tarsus was baptized. He became one of the disciples. He was with the disciples going in and out of Jerusalem. And we read of the missionary tours that Paul went on in teaching this gospel that he says in Galatians chapter 1 verse 8 and 9 must not be altered by anyone, men or angel. The question that arises before us today is, why not believe it and obey it? Why not do what Saul of Tarsus did? Hear the word of God, believe it, and obey it. Be willing to turn from our previous way of life, our sin, submit ourselves completely, totally to God's will, by being baptized for the remission of our sins, as Peter told those people on Pentecost to do. When they asked many brethren, what should we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. Paul said the same thing that Peter taught to the Jews, he taught to the Gentiles. Everybody has to do the same thing. Believe the gospel, repent of their sins, confess their faith publicly, and then be immersed in water for the remission of their sins. You can be a child of God just as Saul of Tarsus was. You can be a part of the disciples of the Lord if you're willing to obey him today. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, we invite you to come as we stand and sing for your encouragement.